All right, here we go. I'm telling you, it just seemed like a couple of days ago when I mentioned Monday afternoon when we were, you know, suffering the beginning of a new week. Weekend was over, and I said, you know, look, the weekend's going to be here before you know it. Here we are. It's Free for All Friday. And I don't know about for you, but for me, the week just flew by. And there has just been so much in the news. It has been nonstop, one thing after another. We have a lot to talk about this afternoon. We'll get the serious stuff out of the way as soon as we can, because our goal is to have as much fun on Friday as we can. Okay, reach over there and crank it up. This is what you have been working for. All right, President Trump is celebrating a big ruling with the Supreme Court today. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, there's a ruling concerning LGBTQ-related books that are in libraries. But I think this is an early, premature celebration for a lot of Christians who are celebrating that the LGBTQ books that might refer to anything concerning same-sex couples can be removed, or that parents can have a say-so in what books are in the library. I don't know all the details of this. This ruling was just rendered by the Supreme Court this morning, actually. So we don't know everything, but don't celebrate too quickly, because there are other things that could be removed from libraries that those Christians might not like removed from libraries. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. But there is a big victory for President Trump with the Supreme Court today. We will talk about that this afternoon. Look, I got a call from a friend of mine yesterday, and the school that his kids go to, a Catholic school, Metairie Road, St. Francis Xavier, has just fired their beloved music teacher. I think the guy's 60, but his early 60s, and he was beloved by the students. They fired him because he's gay. His husband passed away a few years ago, and apparently somebody with malicious intent, somebody who doesn't like gays for whatever reason, maybe some Catholic who decided to be judgmental and doesn't like gays, apparently showed the obituary to some higher-ups in the archdiocese. And so this gentleman was fired. Now, when you agree to become a teacher at a Catholic school, you do sign a contract. You do sign a contract with a morality cause in it. So he broke the morality cause, I guess. The question that I have is, why in the hell should the Catholic Church be concerned about somebody who is gay when the Catholic Church did so much to protect pedophile priests over the years? I just don't think the Catholic Church is in a position to be this judgmental. This guy's not teaching kids to be gay. I think we've all had gay teachers. I had at least two teachers we knew were gay in grammar school, middle school. We knew they were gay. The assistant principal was gay. We all knew it. I didn't turn out to be gay. There were a few people in our class that we thought were gay, and it turned out they were gay, and they're living as gay adults today, and that's fine. But those teachers didn't make them gay. So this hysteria over a gay teacher is not founded in reality. And I just think it's sad that because of the way somebody conducts themselves in the privacy of their bedroom, that they get fired from a job. And I understand there's a morality cause in there, and according to the Catholic Church, this is immoral. But so is touching the genitals, fondling the genitals, having sodomy with young boys. That's immoral too. And I just don't think I just don't feel like the church is in a position to make this judgment. There is a petition out. We'll be talking about that this afternoon. Also, there's still some controversy over the media coverage of Operation Midnight Hammer, the bombing of Iran. And we will know more as time goes on. But we talked a lot about it yesterday. This week was really dominated by a lot of talk about how Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth are just taking it out on the media, bashing the media. And the media's done nothing wrong here. Sometimes the media makes mistakes, and they deserve to be called out. And I don't always defend the media. But the media did nothing wrong here. They reported the news. Donald Trump didn't like that because the news, the actual news, the actual factual news that came out, contradicted what Donald Trump was saying. And he freaks out over that because he's a fragile man. And he can't take that. So, we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. And then there's this video that's gone viral of this woman on a plane just going crazy. I mean, she is pulling this woman's hair with just this strength and power, like she's trying to pull it out of her head. And it's all over a controversy over a damn seat. Okay, if you didn't get the seat you wanted, you can be pissed about that. But why do you think? I mean, there's got to be a reason. There has been an increase, I would say, particularly in the last 2 years. I don't know, you know, time flies by so fast that I don't know whether it was just in the past year, but I think it's been over the past 2 years, when people have really just been going ballistic on planes. And I don't understand why there is this new aggression in our society, bubbling right at the surface. And it doesn't take much to bring this out. But I want to talk to you about this, and I want you to answer the question. Why do you think people are so likely to just go crazy on a plane? What is it about that? We've been flying for years. This is nothing new. But what is new is the possibility that somebody's just going to become totally irate, disrupt a flight. Look, man, there are enough challenges to flying. You know, it used to be a glamorous thing. It's not glamorous anymore. But, you know, it was always a challenge. And there are a hell of a lot of challenges today. It wasn't the challenge years ago that it is today. So we know there are challenges. But why do you think people are so likely to just go crazy and to just get into these verbal and sometimes physical fights and physical action over some kind of dispute in the air? We'll talk about that. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, California Governor Gavin Newsom is suing Fox News for $787 million over a Jesse Waters segment that he claims defamed him by deceptively painting him as a liar. Now, that amount is significant because that's the amount that Fox News paid in the defamation lawsuit brought on by the Dominion voting system that Fox News lied about. They knew they were lying about it. They were lying because they just wanted to entertain their audience with this information that the voting machines from Dominion were fixed and that they swayed the election in favor of Joe Biden. None of that was proven. And Fox News was so desperate to keep this out of court because Fox News did not want those emails, did not want the public to know, did not want its audience to know how premeditated the lie was, how calculated it was, how organized it was. They knew they were lying. And to keep all of that information out of court, Fox News settled for $787 million. So Gavin Newsom is now suing for that exact amount. Now, in some ways, this seems like a lawsuit that is not that significant. But, you know, you should not paint somebody as a liar if they're not a liar, especially if you're a politician. I mean, they all lie. But if you're any kind of public figure and you get caught lying, then people don't trust you. And that's a big deal. Jesse Waters, he's not the smartest kid on the block. He's a pretty boy and he's got nice charisma. But as I mentioned the other day, when Jesse Waters has now taken over for Tucker Carlson was fired over that Fox lying about the Dominion voting machines because Tucker Carlson was all over that. Tucker Carlson was fired. Tucker Carlson had, I think about, I read this the other day, 3.3 million viewers. 3.3 million viewers. Jesse Waters has like 2.2 or 2.3 million viewers. A million less than Tucker Carlson, which is kind of discouraging to me because, you know, that means that there were a lot of people who were into Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson was into lying to people. I mean, he got caught in lie after lie after lie, and people tuned in to hear and to believe the lies and then to spread the lies. Just because the guy's on TV doesn't mean he's credible. So Jesse Waters, he's a pretty boy, but he's not the brightest kid on the block. And so, you know, he might make this kind of mistake where he unfairly says somebody's a liar when they're not. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. Again, it is Free for All Friday, and we can talk about anything you want to talk about. And if you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke, our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. We still never came up with a good name for it other than
studio. No, it's The Jar.
The Jar. I don't like The Jar.
Well, you don't have to use it. But, we've been calling it The Jar. When you're on vacation and me and Coleman are goofing around in here, we call it The Jar.
Well, you can call it The Jar. I don't like The Jar, so I'm not going to call it The Jar.
Well, you come up with your own. What do you think? You think you do better?
Yeah, I do. I mean,
we're all ears.
Okay, well, I might not be able to do it spontaneously here, but I'll think of something. I mean, I'm not just going to do the first thing that pops into my mind.
I mean, we went through several options, and we found that The Jar maybe wasn't the best one. It wasn't our favorite, but it was the one that stuck. And you know why?
No, why?
Do you remember the film Enemy of the State with Gene Hackman and Will Smith?
No.
Funny bit of trivia, that's the movie that was on in the background when I lost my virginity. But the reason I mention it is that Gene Hackman's character in that movie lived inside what he called a jar, which was like a secure communications bunker where like the radio waves couldn't penetrate. You couldn't be spied on by the big bad CIA or whoever the villains were in that movie.
Okay. Well,
but it sounded kind of cool. So it's not like a sort of technical bunker space where communications are managed in a thoughtful way.
Well, understanding that, I mean, I don't know how many people know that. I mean, so many people were just getting laid during the movie that they might not have paid attention to the jar.
Well, I saw it a couple times.
But knowing what I know about that in the movie.
It became kind of a habit. We just had to put the movie on every time, you know? Get us in the mood.
Was there a certain position that Gene Hackman was in that put you in the mood? I don't know.
No.
Anyway, doesn't seem like a movie that would be conducive to that. You know, I'm thinking maybe Teddy Pendergrass Turn Out the Lights, you know, something like that might be conducive. That makes a little sense. I'm going to let that be your deal with Coleman.
Okay.
I may think of another name, but in any event, it's the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you too as well. You know, I'll never skip an opportunity to dunk on Fox News, which I think is a malevolent force in our society. And I don't mean like the media or like both sides or CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. It's just Fox News. However, I want to start out today talking about a local issue. It's really grinding my gears.
Okay. Love that phrase, grinding gears.
I think it's a Family Guy bit. I have a new least favorite signalized intersection. For many years, the punishment light at the corner of City Park Avenue and Canal Boulevard.
Wait, let me envision this. City Park Avenue and...
And Canal.
And Canal. City Park Avenue. City Park, is that, okay, does City Park Avenue run, does it intersect with Marconi at Delgado?
Yes.
Okay, so I didn't know the name of that street. So City Park Avenue.
If you're going up City Park Avenue, like past, the park is on your right, then you get to Marconi, Delgado's right there, and you keep going.
Right.
And you'll get to like where the streetcar line is, there's a big bus station there, the Bulldog is there. Morning calls.
Yeah, it's a Charlie Foxtrot.
That stoplight sucks so bad. And when I lived over by City Park Avenue, I had to go through it, you know, many, many times a week, and I hated it so much. Well, since I moved back downtown, the stoplight at the corner of Canal and North Rampart, I swear to God, the green is set to 5 seconds. You get 5 seconds to get through this intersection. And specifically, if you're on Rampart, headed uptown, you get to Canal Street, I think 1201 Canal.
So, look, at Canal Street, look, that's a wide street to cross.
It's the widest street in America, as a matter of fact.
That's what they say, yeah.
Well, that's what I heard. But that stoplight, I don't know. Somebody go in there and fix it. Just turn the little knob up from 5 seconds to 15 seconds or whatever the standard amount of time is that should elapse before it goes from green to yellow. It really is insane. In fact, I would like to get in your car with you sometime and take you past that intersection just so you can see what I got to deal with every day.
Well, we could do a video because you'd be in the other seat. We could do a video and a commentary as we go through the intersection.
Set a stopwatch.
Yeah,
we could say, you know, Oliver Thomas, Helena Moreno, Arthur Hunter, I don't know, whoever's going to be the next mayor of New Orleans, if you promise you're going to fix this stoplight, you got my vote. I don't care about any of your other ideas or your other policies. If you can lengthen the time that the light at the corner of Canal and North Rampart is green, I'm in your corner.
All right. Look, if you want to join us, it's a free-for-all Friday. If you have a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, there was a scattered shower that I ran into just briefly. It was kind of passing, but I ran into a little rain coming in. You know, I really thought that today and over the weekend, we have less of a chance of rain than we've had recently, but already ran into a shower this morning, and looking outside of our studio windows, it looks it looks pretty clear in this direction, but hey, you know, these showers can pop up at any time. It's that time of year. Just relax and deal with it. All right, we have a lot to get to this afternoon, but remember, it's Free for All Friday, so we're going to have fun. I'm Scoot on WWL. All right, President Trump is celebrating a Supreme Court ruling that makes him more powerful. It also makes every president to follow him more powerful. And someday there might be a Democrat in the White House, and that Democratic president is going to be more powerful, too. So this is not just about Trump. But yeah, he is clearly celebrating a victory in the Supreme Court. Basically, it limits the power to issue injunctions against executive orders. I mean, I think that's probably the simplest way to put it. It's a free-for-all Friday. Let's start to get to some of your calls, and Ian's going to get some of your texts ready to go in just a few minutes. All right, Janice, New Orleans, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot?
Good.
That's good. I want to wish everybody listening to me a happy weekend, a nice weekend. I know it's going to be hot, but do your best to stay cool and, you know, just have a nice weekend.
But Janice, you don't have to worry about the heat because you are cool no matter what the temperature is.
Oh, Scoot. My God, that's surprising to me. Thank you. I can't get over
you're
saying
welcome.
That.
Very cool.
And with you saying that reminds me there was a gentleman that called you the other day. And I don't know if he's listening today, but he said something nice about me, and I appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's a bit of a shocker. I wasn't expecting that. No,
well,
yes,
I'm glad.
I'm
glad I helped make your Friday a little better by saying you're cool.
Yeah, that was nice. That really was nice of you. Thank you. No, what I wanted to say was that yesterday I called, and anybody can do this. All you have to do is go to Google and type in Governor Jeff Landry phone number. I'll contact Governor Jeff Landry, and I called the office, and I left a message with regard to the balloons. And then I called Nungesser's office, and I talked to a man there, and I told him. I said, tell Mr. Nungesser that I said, don't give up on this. Do not give up on it. I don't think balloons of any kind. I saw a couple of times I saw balloons, one by my neighbor. It was just floating around by my neighbor's fence, and then one around the corner there. And they were just regular balloons, but I snagged them, and they became mine. I took them inside, and I popped them and threw them in a trash can.
I thought you were going to say you took them inside, and you took care of them, and you pampered them, and they're still with you now.
Yeah, well, I thought of doing that as a joke, but no, really, in the real world, I just popped them and got rid of them. But I didn't offer them anything to eat or anything like that.
This was a big thing that happened on the show this week when Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser was talking about how Governor Jeff Landry vetoed a bill that had gone through the legislature with unanimous approval, and that's rare. And it was about the Mylar balloons, which if you've seen videos, you know how they kill wildlife. You know how they disrupt the environment. And it's just not necessary because, yeah, those balloons don't bring anybody back. And it's nice that you're celebrating
somebody,
but they're not bringing anybody back. And so the lieutenant governor suggested that the governor has a vendetta against the legislator who sponsored that bill. And so, in spite of the bill going through with unanimous approval in the legislature, he wanted to get back at this legislator and veto the bill.
Well, you know what I say, Scoot?
Yeah.
Someone else needs to bring it up. Another person needs to. Not that same guy that he apparently doesn't like, but another person should. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, if it was a unanimous approval, there've got to be some Republicans who Jeff Landry likes, who could bring that bill up, and then it might go through. But
I think that's what he did. The
petty politics. This makes Governor Landry a tiny man if he's going to use his personal vendetta against. I mean, that's the mentality of Trump. If you don't agree with me, then I'm going to bring you down. Even if the general public would benefit, I'm bringing you down.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that I have really seen. There's a PBS station in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I had read that if there are cuts to NPR, that could really seriously affect the people right here in our own state who rely on that to get information about weather and other such things. And this is, I mean, look, once you start saying, you say something, I don't agree with you, or you say something against me, or whatever, I mean, that's kind of becoming like North Korea or communism or something like that.
Yeah, we agree.
I'm tired of hearing them say, oh, NPR, that's bias. Well, okay, taxpayers' dollars are not paying for Fox News Channel, but they're every bit as biased as PBS is. All you have to do is put Laura Ingraham on and hear what she's saying, and she's biased.
Janice, you're growing into such wisdom, which is why you're so cool.
Well, it's just common sense. It's just my common sense. Right. I happen to understand that there are two sides here. There's your liberals, Democrats, so many of them I can't stand. And then there's the other side, too. But, you know, they have a right. Each side does have a right to their opinion. You don't have to. And I know I don't always agree with it. Sometimes I put MSNBC on, they say something stupid, I turn it off. Yeah. You know, but at least they have a right to be there.
Yeah. All right. Well, Janice, I'm going to have to move on here in just a moment. So I just want to say again, I appreciate you calling the show. Let's go to Rocco in the French Quarter. Hey, Rocco.
Rocco in the Quarter. Your boss started off when he said the two worst intersections in the history of the world. He hit him in the eye with the hammer. Rampart and Canal, it lasts 3 seconds. You ain't got time to hockey shop at your watch at Fishers. But don't even talk about Canal Boulevard, City Park, Cemetery, Cafe Du Monde. They ought to put them double in jail there.
Sometimes these lights are too short. I don't understand how they come to the conclusion that the light should be that brief.
Well, and then the other problem is this overkill. The night Taylor Swift was here, we were dropping and picking up. I don't care if it's 50 years, Scoot. I knew this city more, and I live on Esplanade and Rampart. I ain't no West Bank, or I ain't no North Shoreman. You know what they call me on the North Shore? Democrat. You like that one, huh? Like that one. They say I'd be too bad. But anyway, my fear of front is that the city has needed so many things, and, you know, they just paid a school superintendent $500,000 for a new job. You know what the truancy rate is every day, Scoot? And I was a bad kid downtown. 28%. You can't have that every day. We'll never be a big city.
Well, you know, the people, you know, the incarcerated, the five incarcerated youth that I talked to at the Youth Justice, Juvenile Justice Center, they all talked about how they didn't have strong support in their family. They didn't have family that held them accountable. If they didn't want to go to school, they didn't go to school. And nobody was checking up on them, and that's really sad. Wow. And you know, a lot of people who go to school here, they stay here for their entire lives. And so we need people to go to school and be educated, because it does have something to do with the intelligence of our entire city.
Well, one other thing, Sue, they had at one time in this city a good bellhop, a good cab driver, made middle class money. We had to work 8 hours a week for it. I'm one of them. I own a house downtown. But you have to have a place for these kids who don't have to get, like cabs. You ain't got to be Einstein, especially today. Uber Lyft put me out of business. I made a lot of money driving. If I didn't go to Vegas and Four and sell the sand and pool, I'd be rich. I'm born on TV. Yeah. I should have the part. You know I'm the gangster, but now I'm just rocking with a little prankster, a 7-1 all-star, can't you see? They almost tried to put me in the penitentiary. Dude, I'm going to let you go because I'm crazy.
All right, Rocco.
The mayor, though, I love everybody. You got the love. There's too much hate in this world.
I agree.
Love everybody.
I agree. Well, you know, some people are pretty hard. Some people are pretty hard to love, but, you know, we could do a better job of at least tolerating each other and at least understanding that it's okay to have a different opinion. I'm telling you, this is what I love about being on Substack. You know, I post stuff on Substack, and people disagree with me, but it's different from Facebook because there's just not the juvenile hate. And I've got a social media manager, and if you get ugly, she's bumping you. You're gone. You're not going to have the opportunity to communicate with me whatsoever if you get ugly on Substack. So, yeah, just go to Substack.com, Scoot on the Air, and I'm posting more there now than on Facebook, and it's a different audience, and I'm really, really enjoying it. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls. Also, Ian has got some text messages coming up, and if you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. When we come back, let's talk about the Supreme Court siding with parents who want to opt out their children when it comes to certain books that have LGBTQ themes in the library. But does this open a door that a lot of these Christians are not going to be happy with? We'll talk about that when we come back. Remember, be positive. We're all going to get through this. We're going to be okay eventually. You know, and if you want to talk about a terrible intersection, you know, that's a great conversation on the radio. And you know, city officials listen to this show, and maybe they're actually going to pay attention to what some of you say, and they might actually do something about an intersection that you're complaining about, like Canal and Rampart. Maybe there's going to be a change as a result of what we talk about. Because these are the people, these are the citizens talking, and if you don't know there's a problem, they're telling you there is one. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. I love this song because it's written by a straight guy. Listen to the lyrics. All right, the Supreme Court is siding with parents now. So if there's going to be a lesson in school that has an LGBTQ theme, parents can opt out. But the decision ultimately sends the case back to a lower court for a final decision on whether that requires the county or the parish in Louisiana to provide an opt-out option. But in the meantime, the Supreme Court says that school districts must notify parents in advance and enable them to have their children removed from that particular instruction that deals with LGBTQ stuff. You know, I don't have a tremendous problem with this. You know, I thought about this today after this ruling was rendered. I thought about how we shouldn't depend on our schools to educate our children about what is fair and what is right. That's something that should come from home. And if schools don't have LGBTQ books in the library, if they don't have LGBTQ lessons in school, that's okay. Nothing is going to stop you from teaching your kids that they should not be judgmental of gays. Nothing can stop you from doing it. Nothing can stop you from going online or going to a bookstore and buying books that have LGBTQ themes to teach your children not to be judgmental. And if you have a child that you think might be showing signs of being gay or being trans, you can go get the books you need. And in the same way that, you know, you hate to say it, but, you know, schools shouldn't be responsible for teaching our kids about sex. I think sex education is a good thing because a lot of parents don't talk to their kids about sex. But, you know, ultimately that comes back to the parents. And nothing in the world and nothing in this country is going to stop you from teaching your children to be fair and to not be judgmental of gays and lesbians, people who are bisexual, people who are trans. Nothing can stop you from teaching your kids the right thing to do with that. All right, before we get back to calls, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
There's a texter, 1308, who listens to the show, I really think, like 5 days a week, but rarely has anything nice to say about us. It's one of those, one of the people.
We're
glad to have you listening. We're glad to have you participating.
There.
We see that you don't really like the way that we do things. But here they are. They say today, big wins for President Trump today. This will surely kick your Trump derangement syndrome up a notch or two. The wins just keep coming. Have a nice day.
Whoever sent that, you don't know anything about me. I'm going to get off the air at 4 o'clock. I'm going to have a few things to do in preparation for the show Monday. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to enjoy this weekend. Now, I'm going to post some stuff on Substack. So I'm going to pay attention to the news now and then over the weekend. But I am somebody who does not even come close to having this TDS thing. In fact, I think a lot of people who think I have it, they actually have TDS. It's Trump delusional syndrome. They're totally delusional about Donald Trump and his wizardry and all that he does and stands for. But man, listen, don't misunderstand me. I have a great friggin' life. I mean, I go to concerts when I want to. I go to movies when I want to. I have a really, really nice life. And a lot of you would, you know, who think that like I'm so burdened by Donald Trump, you would probably love my life, you know, because I'm pretty free and I got a really cool life and I love who I am. So, man, don't think that I'm suffering. And I'm reporting it because it's true. This is a celebration for the President of the United States and we're reporting it.
Yes and no. Of all the Supreme Court rulings we've had recently, the ones that came out this morning, I think are some of the least that the president and his allies can point to and say, these were huge wins for us. Like, yeah, we've gotten to this ruling now that a federal district court judge cannot issue a nationwide injunction. You know, so Trump gives an executive order, says birthright citizenship is over. Which is the it's right there in the Constitution.
Right.
So now as it's working its way through the courts, what this ruling says is that a district court judge cannot issue a nationwide stop on that executive order. But like you correctly pointed out, it's not about this issue. It's not about this president. What the Supreme Court has done here has effectively said, This is a policy that's now going to be effective for all future presidents.
Yeah,
and there have been many times in the very recent past where a district court judge has ruled against a Democratic president on issues regarding abortion, issues regarding gun control,
yep,
immigration, gender-affirming care, all sorts of things.
Yep.
And now they can't do that either.
Right.
So this is kind of a wash as far as I'm concerned.
So a lot of Trump-appointed judges,
yeah,
who are conservative, they might want to make an injunction against a Democrat in the White House. They can't do that anymore.
They no longer have the power to do that.
And also when it comes to the LGBTQ stuff, what this does is this opens the door. Let's say you don't want your kid to be present for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm just using this theoretically because I don't even know if this goes on in school anymore. You can opt out and say your kid doesn't have to be part of that. A lot of the Christians who are really right-wingers who want kids exposed to the Pledge of Allegiance and all that kind of stuff, this allows parents to opt out of that. If you don't want your kids to hear about the way school is teaching history, you can have your kids opt out of history. I mean, these are all the things that are going to be challenged. So if they can opt out of LGBTQ themes, then it's my understanding that they can opt out of other things that the parents might not want their kids to learn. If they're teaching them history and they don't like the way that history is being taught, or if they think it's not fair or it's too white-centric, then they could say, well, I don't want my kids to be involved in that. I think these are challenges that are going to come up.
We're not hearing the president say anything about the ruling that came out this morning about preventive health care coverage. where three of the conservative justices voted with the liberals and said, if you're, you know, like a Christian-owned business, you still have to offer health insurance plans that offer HIV prevention medications, which they did not want to do because they think it glorifies the gay lifestyle and it's against their beliefs. Well, you lost that ruling quite decisively. So, you know, he can be celebrating and dancing around all he wants, but, you know, it's not a slam dunk here. I don't think it's a mixed bag at best. Some of the other decisions that have already come out, you know, in the last few days or weeks are I think, bigger victories for this president. The only case that has not been decided yet is about our map, is about our congressional map. We got that second majority black district. They said it was a racial gerrymander. I think most people looking at it with clear eyes would agree. Even people who would like to have a majority black district. Like the reason that this map was drawn this way was to include more black voters in District 2. But you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to use race as a consideration when you're drawing district lines. That's the only case that hasn't been decided yet. I hope it happens while they're on the air here because I would love to talk about it. But there it is.
That could happen. But a lot of stuff is coming down. You know, this is June before they go into recess. This is a time when a lot of decisions are made by the Supreme Court. In fact, this week, we talked about this week in 2003 on June 26th, which was what, yesterday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, June 26th yesterday was the day. In fact, I posted this on Substack. Yesterday was the day that the Supreme Court ruled in 2003 that any law banning sodomy, like the law we have in Louisiana, is unconstitutional. And also on this day, June 26th, in 2015, that was the day that the Supreme Court said any law banning same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. So this is a time when we get those rulings. And what I pointed out in my Substack video is that those who called this show and texted this show that gay marriage was going to somehow ruin society, they were all wrong. And I want to invite you, if you want to, if you called the show and you thought that and you told me that gay marriage was going to ruin society, if you want to call up and admit you were wrong, you can. I don't expect anybody to do that because that doesn't ever happen. You know, people are so bold to make a prediction about how something is going to turn out. And when it doesn't turn out that way, they never want to admit they were wrong.
I know we got to get to a break, but I did want to jump in one more text here that says, Scoot, I hope you'll mention the S&P 500 making new record highs.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's good news. I don't want anybody to lose any money. It doesn't stop inflation from being where it is. It doesn't stop a lot of other things. But if the S&P 500 is up, doesn't affect me personally, but I'm happy for the people that it impacts.
Yeah, same. If you look at the S&P 500 over the last 25-something years, it just keeps going up with rare exceptions, you know, like the Great Recession and COVID. But the S&P is hitting new record highs kind of like all the time. So I don't know why you'd point to it today and be like, I demand that you talk about this.
Well, yeah. And again, we don't have to. You know, you can't call Fox News and demand that they talk about certain things. And you can't call us and demand that we talk about certain things. But just to prove how open we are and how fair we are, we do talk about a lot of those things that people think we would never talk about. And we don't have to talk about them. We're under no obligation whatsoever to talk about the things that we don't want to talk about, but we talk about those things because, you know, generally speaking, we're fair. All right. I'm Scoot. Yeah. This is America. We'll be back on WWL. All right. On the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 1987, Whitney Houston scored her fourth number one top 100 hit with this song, I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me. Hell, I used to dance with people who didn't like me. Anyway, it was a debut single from her second album. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to more of your calls. We also have a lot of texts to get to this afternoon. It is Free for All Friday, and we are going to just talk about a lot of stuff. Hang on. We'll be back.